Chapter 12. Prophet and Prisoner.
You will come with us to Villamus.
I knew this was all going too well.
Sirion voxed over a private channel. Talos ignored him.
That is the price of my aid,
the seated figure added.
When we lay siege to Villamus, your forces will be in the vanguard.
Lord Huron's throne room in Hell's Iris was hardly devoted to any suggestion of subtlety. The station's war room had been converted to a monarch's chamber, replete with a raised throne and rows of crusade banners hanging from the ceiling. Rows of bodyguards, supplicants, and beseechers lined the walls. Human, renegade Astartes, and creatures lost in the mutable states of those enthralled to chaos worship. The decking showed its stains with unwashed pride. Blood, burns, and greyish slime in equal measure. While the air bore the stink of something sulphurous, rising from the breath of the gathered warriors. It all added to the pain pulse buzzing inside the prophet's skull.
Nothing,
Mercutian voxed quietly, bears the same stench as a red corsair haven. Talos had replaced his own helm upon entering the station.
We have to agree to his wishes. Huron won't let us leave alive if we refuse.
His offer is suicide,
Sirion pointed out.
We're all aware of that.
We should confer with the Exalted, replied Mercutian. Yes,
Zal smiled behind his faceplate.
I'm sure that will happen. Just agree, Talos. The smell of this place is seeping through my armor.
Well,
the enthroned figure asked. Lord Huron's ravaged features stared with delighted interest. He was not a man with a mind to hide his emotions, and what remained of his human face was twisted into a leer that bled superiority. He knew he'd won even before these dregs of the 8th Legion came before him to beg, and he felt no qualms in showing the triumph across his brutalized visage. Yet, even in his monstrous exultation, little of pettiness showed. He almost seemed to share the joke with First Claw. Talos rose from his knees. Behind him, First Claw did the same. Varial stood to the side, his face a careful mask of passionless boredom.
It will be done, Lord Huron, Talos said. We agree to your terms. When do we sail?
Huron reclined in the Osseous throne, the very image of an ancient, indecorous warlord.
As soon as my work crews have resurrected your broken covenant of blood, a month, maybe less, you will provide the materials.
Talos nodded.
The Ganges raid was most fruitful, my lord. Ah, but you fled from the marines' errand, not as fruitful as the venture might otherwise have been. No, lord.
The prophet watched the warlord, wishing it was easier to dislike Huron's disarming informality. A strange, reluctant charisma bled from the corsair lord's wounded carcass in a trickling aura.
I watched the covenant drift in, you know, he said. How you let such a grand ship fall into ruin is, I suspect, something of a tale.
It is, sire, Talos conceded. I would be glad to speak of it at a more opportune time.
Huron blinked his dry eyes. Mirth enlivened them, and his shoulder guards rattled with the laughter he kept beneath his breath.
Now seems the perfect time, Night Lord.
Around the chamber came the rumbling chuckles of legionary voices.
Let us hear the story now.
Talos swallowed, his mind racing beneath the pain. Huron's conversational noose was as simple and blunt as it was unavoidable. In a moment of foolish instinct, he almost glanced at Varial.
My lord,
the prophet inclined his head.
I believe you already know the vital aspects of our sufferance, yet cried. A more poetic voice than mine is required to do the tale any justice. Huron licked his corpse lips.
Indulge me. Speak to me of how you betrayed the Black Legion and ran from the Blood Angels.
More laughter from the armed audience.
I curse the Exalted for sending us to do this,
Sirion sighed.
He's baiting us,
Zarl's voice was low, cold. The Prophet wasn't so sure. He bowed theatrically, feigning a role in the amusement at First Claw's expense.
Forgive me, Lord Huron. I forgot how difficult it must be for you to receive pure information on the war waged by the First Legions. Those of us who once walked at the sides of Primarchs tend to forget how distant and isolated the lesser renegade Astartes must feel. I will tell you of Abaddon's preparations for the coming crusade, and the Night Lord's place within it, of course. I only hope you will enlighten us as to whatever games you and your pirates have been playing, so far from the war's front lines.
As Talos's words fell across the silent chamber, Uzas sniggered like a child over the box.
And you rebuke Zarl for his diplomacy?
Mercutian sounded aghast.
You've killed us all, Prophet.
Talos said nothing. He merely watched the warlord upon the throne. Ranks of red corsairs stood at attention, waiting for the order to open fire. A stunted, inhuman creature skittered around their armored boots, cackling to itself. Huron, master of the Maelstrom and the largest pirate warfleet in the eastern reaches of the galaxy, finally allowed his face to split into a smile. It took obvious effort to make the expression. The grin formed from twitching muscles and quivering, nerveless lips.
I would have liked to walk upon Nostramo,
the tyrant said at last.
In my experience, its sons have an entertaining sense of humor.
Huron drummed his armored talons on the armrests of his throne, releasing a mouthful of laughter closer to a gargle.
I am glad to entertain you, Lord, as always.
Talos was smiling himself.
You are still a soul blinded by overconfidence, you know.
It is a curse, the Prophet agreed.
The warlord gave another of his burbling, throaty chuckles, the sound of unspat bile trapped in wounded lungs. Thin pistons compressed with clicks, visible through the patchwork skin of the warlord's throat.
And what if I'd not required you for this little task, legionary? Then what?
Then you'd have aided us from the goodness of your own heart, Lord.
I can see why the Exalted loathes you.
The Corsair Lord grinned again. It bled the tension from the chamber in a rush of acidic breath. Huron rose, gesturing to the Night Lords with his oversized metal claw. At the movement, the creature loping around the chamber, a hairless, wretched little quadruped with skinny, malformed limbs, scampered over to the warlord and climbed Huron's armor plating with its knobbly talons. The Corsair Lord paid it no heed as it clutched onto his back-mounted power pack, gripping with its taloned hands. Swollen eyes glared at the Night Lords, and its awkward teeth clicked together with a stuttering rattle.
What the hell is that? Sirion breathed.
Talos whispered a reply.
I'm not sure I want to know.
It looks like someone skinned the spawn of a monkey and a dog. I believe one of you should tell the Blood Reaver that he has an abomination crawling over his back.
I think he knows, Sai.
Huron beckoned to them again, his claw squealing as its joints moved.
Come, warriors of the First Legions, I have something of yours that you may wish to see.
The myriad decks of Hell's Iris thronged with life, but the Tyrant's Honor Guard had sequestered an entire level of the Star Fortress for the Corsair's own use. Here, guarded by Huron's most capable warriors, the command structure of the Red Corsairs made their plans to strike out against the Imperium. And here, under the watchful eyes of the chapter's elite, the Tyrant liked to keep unwelcome guests incarcerated at his leisure. As they walked through the quieter corridors, boots clanking on the decking, Talos let his gaze drift over the profaned metal walls. Each bore a manuscript's worth of blasphemous screeds and incantations, inked and branded into the naked steel. Huron's movements drew the prophet's eyes more than once. The master of the Red Corsairs was a shattered creature, but his dragging limp belied the suppressed power in every jerking movement. Seeing him now this close enough that the sickly flickering light glinted back from his tarnished armor plating, it was no trouble at all to discern why the former tyrant of Badab remained alive. Some warriors were too stubborn to die. Had he been mortal, Talos suspected Huron's presence would be enough to cow him into obeisance. Few other war leaders exuded such an unpalatable aura of threat, born of a destroyed face, a pained smile, and the growl of fiber-bundled cabling in his armor joints. But then, few other war leaders commanded a secessionist empire, let alone an astral kingdom of such immense size and might.
Something in my face interests you, Prophet.
Your wounds, my lord. Is there much pain?
Huron bared his teeth to the curious question. Both warriors were the painstaking product of extensive archaic genetic manipulation and biosurgery, making pain a relative concept to post-human warriors with two hearts, three lungs, and the habit of spitting acid.
A great deal,
the Corsair Lord said, leaving it at that. Behind First Claw, the lumbering forms of Red Corsair Terminators filled the corridor, plodding along in tank-like obstinance. The hairless little mutants scrabbled around their heels. Sirion kept casting looks back at it.
Before I give you this gift,
Huron's tongue moistened his cracked lips again.
Tell me, Night Lord, why you risked that ludicrous jest with me in the throne room?
The answer came smoothly, relayed through his helm's vox speakers.
Your empire is a cancer webbing through the Imperium's heart, and it is said you command as many warriors as any legion lord, except for the War Master himself.
Talos turned to glance at Huron, the warlord's broken features outlined by a target lock.
I do not know if that is true, Lord Huron, but I doubted such a man would be so petty or ungracious as to vent his anger over a few spoken words.
Huron's reply was no more than a flicker of amusement in his bloodshot eyes.
Will we even want this gift?
Zarl voxed to the others.
Not if it's what I think it is.
Sirion's voice came back, a little distracted.
That little thing is still following us. I may shoot it.
Sek Jai Krugel, Shivrik Vaxkir,
Huron announced, bringing them all to a halt.
I do not speak any of the Bedeb dialects,
Talos confessed. Huron answered by gesturing at a sealed bulkhead door with his massive power claw. The curving talons had been painted the same red as his ceramite a long time ago, but battle had slowly disintegrated the weapon's appearance, leaving it scorched black from flame. The tyrant inclined his head to the Night Lords, and the overhead illumination strips reflected their light back off the chrome portions of his bare skull.
"Here is what I wished you to see," he said. "Tormenting it has been both useful and entertaining, but I suspect you would take pleasure in seeing it as well. Consider this viewing a token of gratitude for accepting my offer."
The bulkhead began to rise, and Talos resisted the urge to draw his weapons.
"Keep your helms on," the tyrant warned.
He couldn't tell how long he'd waited, blind, alone, and feeling the unwanted sting of tears trailing down his face. The shackles were no punishment at all, despite how they gripped his wrists to bind him to the wall. Likewise, the onset of starvation was a pain to be overcome, something to be ignored, along with the bite of desperate thirst that scratched like sand in his veins. The collar leashing his throat, now that was punishment, but one born of a weaker breed. He couldn't see the runic scripture inscribed upon the cold metal, but it was impossible not to feel their emanations. Pulse, pulse, pulse in his neck, with the same inevitable throbbing of an infected tooth. To be denied a voice and the power wrought by his every whispered word, it was humiliating. But that made it nothing more than another humiliation to be heaped upon so many other indignities. No, he could and would withstand such things. He could even endure the other minds burrowing into his own, their careless, invisible probes thrashing aside his mental defenses with all the ease of idiot children ripping through paper. It hurt to think. It hurt to remember. It hurt to do anything but force his mind to a meditative blankness. Still, he could survive it, holding his psyche intact through shivering concentration. But the light was another matter. He knew he'd screamed for a time, though he'd no perception of just how long. After the screaming, he'd rocked back and forth, head lowered to his bare chest, drooling acid through clenched teeth. The chlorine stink of dissolving metal had only added to his nausea, as his spit ate into the floor. His strength deserted him at last. After weeks, months, he now knelt with his arms wide, wrists bound to the wall behind, head loose on an aching neck, eyes dripping tears, unable to lubricate past the pain. The light splashed against his closed eyelids with corrosive intent, a press of misty white, bright enough to drag tears from the eyes of a soul otherwise beyond sorrow. Through this haze of pain and messy clouding of his thoughts, the prisoner heard the door to his cell opening once more. He took three slow breaths, as if they could expel the pain from his body, and breathed out the words he'd been waiting to say for the entirety of his bloodless crucifixion.
"When I am free," he spat the words out with strings of saliva, "I will kill every single one of you."
One of his tormentors came closer. He heard it in the purr of armor joints, the soft grinding of machinery muscles.
"Ah, Thrillay, Vylas,"
his torturer whispered in a dead language from a dead world. Yet his captors knew no such tongue. The prisoner raised his head, staring blindly forward, and repeated the words back.
"Greetings," he said, "brother."
Talos didn't want to imagine the prisoner's pain. His own retinal display struggled to dull the atrocious strength of the chamber's lights, and even behind his faceplate, he felt the sting of tears at the aggravating brightness. He curled his armored fingers through the captive's unshaven, greasy hair and yanked the prisoner's head back, baring the sweating throat. His words were an Ostraman hiss, pitched low to defeat unwanted ears.
I swore to kill you when next we met. I remember it.
Reuven smiled through the pain.
Now is your chance, Talos.
The prophet drew his gladius, pressing the blade's edge against the prisoner's cheek.
Give me one reason not to peel the skin from your treacherous bones.
Reuven choked out a laugh. As he shook his head, the sword rubbed against his flesh, slicing a shallow gash.
I have no reasons to give you. Spare us both the pretense that I will beg for my life, and just do as you will.
Talos withdrew the blade. For a moment he did nothing but watch the drop of blood crawl its wet way down the steel.
How did they catch you?
Reuven swallowed.
The War Master cast me aside for my failures at Cryth.
Talos couldn't help the crooked grin that took hold.
And you fled here?
Of course. Where else? What other havens for our kind have such size and scope, such potential? The maelstrom was the only answer that made sense.
The prisoner's face twisted into a snarl.
I did not know some of my erstwhile brothers had so harmed the Eighth Legion's reputation with the Corsairs.
Talos was still watching the blood trickle down. We made few friends last time we were here, he said. But that's not why Huron took you prisoner, is it? These might be your last words, brother. Lies have no place in a valediction. Reuven said nothing for a time. Then, in a sibilant whisper,
look at me.
Talos did so. Streams of biodata flickered across his visor.
You are dehydrated to the point of tissue damage, he noted.
The captive grunted.
Is that so? You should be an apothecary.
The truth, Reuven.
The truth. Were it only so simple. Huron allowed me to remain at Hell's Iris. If I traded away the secrets, I'd spent decades prying from the warp. At first, I conceded. Then there was an altercation.
Reuven's androgynous features split into a dry, gummed smile.
3 Corsairs died, summoning denizens of the warp, many times more powerful than they could bind. Tragic, Talos. So very tragic. Evidently, the dabbling fools were considered promising candidates for Huron's librarium.
The prophet stared at the sorcerer for some time.
You are still there, brother,
Reuven said.
I hear you.
I am still here, Talos agreed. I am trying to discern the truth from your lies.
I told you the truth. What purpose would lying serve? They have shackled me here for what feels like months, saturating my eyes with light. I cannot see. I cannot move. Abaddon cast me aside, stripping me of my role in his Black Legion. Why would I lie to you?
That is what I intend to find out, Talos replied, and rose to his feet.
Because I know you, Reuven. The truth is anathema to your tongue.
A traitorous prize, is he not?
Lord Huron asked.
I am almost done with him, for he is no longer worth any amusement, and I believe he holds little information back from my sorcerers now. They have peeled all the lore they need from his mind.
What were his crimes?
Talos glanced back at the kneeling form of his former brother, bathed in the radiant light.
He caused the death of 3 initiates and refused to share his knowledge. He had to be encouraged to do so by other means.
The Blood Reaver's cadaverous features peeled back into a smile.
Rendering him helpless was a trial in itself. Collared as he is no threat. He cannot whisper into the warp to call forth his powers. Binding his warp craft was the very first precaution I took, immediately before blinding him.
Play this carefully, Sirion warned. This is a promise of our fate if we betray the Corsairs.
If, Talos voxed back,
they have the echo of damnation. I'm not leaving without it.
Very well. When we betray them.
Talos clicked an acknowledgement pulse back over the vox in reply.
Let him rot here, the prophet said to the Corsair Lord. What of his weapons and armor?
Huron's split lips curled.
I have his war gear. Consider it another gesture of goodwill that I offer it back to you.
Reuven let out a moan that disintegrated as it left his slack jaws. Chains rattled as he tested his shackles for the first time in weeks.
Do not leave me here! Burn in the warp, traitor!
Zarl chuckled back.
Thank you for the gift, Talos said to Huron. It is always gratifying to see betrayers reap what they sow. Kill him if you wish. It matters nothing to us.
Talos!
Reuven whispered the name once. On the second effort, it became a scream.
Talos!
The prophet turned to the prisoner, his retinal display compensating for the insane glare once again. Reuven was staring at him now. Blood ran down his cheeks in twin tear trails as the light burned out the sensitive tissue behind his eyes.
I thought you said you wouldn't beg for your life, Talos said.
The bulkhead slammed closed before Reuven could reply, sealing him inside the cell with his own screams.